seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our viewers all over the world to another edition of our program, Islamic Studies. This program is being broadcast to you live by Sahar Universal Network from the Islamic Republic of Iran and from the holy city of Qum, and I'm your host, Ijaz Hussain. We're still in the holy month of Muharram, and we are speaking about the message of Ashura. We've had a few sessions regarding this very, very important event in the history of Islam. Of course, it is the supreme sacrifice of the holy Imam, Imam Hussain alayhi salam, the third holy successor to the holy prophet, peace be upon him and his holy family. We want to discuss from the message of Ashura because it can be taken from many different perspectives, and we want to look at different angles of exactly what Imam Hussain alayhi salam's resistance and movement was all about. And I'm going to do that with my expert in the studio shortly after this break. So please stay with us. We'll be right back. Thanks. Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. You're watching Islamic Studies, and I'm your host, Ijaz Hussain. If you have any comments or criticisms or would like to participate on the program, there will be numbers subtitled on the screen as well as an email, so please make use of them. We would love to hear from you about anything you would like to say on the program, and you're more than welcome. I'd like to introduce my guest in the studio, and I have the honor and pleasure of introducing Sheikh Dr. Dawoodi, who is a lecturer and researcher from the Holy Seminaries of Qum. A very warm welcome to you, sir, and thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much. And I would like to express my thanks to you and all of the viewers, inshallah. We're going to have a good session together.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. And Dr. Dawoodi, the topic today, of course, because we are still in the holy month of Muharram, we are speaking about the message of Ashura. Please start us off by, you know, giving us the idea of what is the message of Ashura. You know, we understand the movement of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, a lot of the historical background we've covered in previous programs as well about the circumstances in which Imam Hussain alayhi salam went to Karbala, and you know that sacrifice was made because, of course, he was under aggression and oppression from the Umayyad tyranny of the time. So what is the message that we get from Ashura in terms of, if we can use the term, anti-oppression? So what is that, please?
Okay. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. As you see, just to take a glance on the event of Ashura, it is not completely a very small battle in a, for example, the 10th day of Muharram.
Yes, yes.
It was much more wider, of course. And some different things happened together that this event, of course, came to be a really tragedy in Islam, of course.
It is a tragedy.
For humanity.
We have to emphasize that what happened to the family of the Holy Prophet, because we are not talking about just Imam Hussain alayhi salam himself. We're talking about his companions. We're talking about 18 members of his direct family. They were put to the sword. They were simply slaughtered. In terms of modern day terminology, we could say it was a genocide at that time.
Of course.
A genocide of the Holy Prophet's family. How does that affect the entire way that we look at Islam, and you know what has happened to the family of the Holy Prophet?
Yes. Because of this genocide that you said, of course, you mentioned, nobody in the world is against, for example, Imam Hussein. Nobody says that Imam Hussein has done something wrong.
That's right.
And
yes.
Of course, the people, not only those who are, you know, thinking freely, even those oppressed people, of course, those people who are tyrant, they are against Yazid too. But away from the historical events, we want to say that what was the message of Ashura?
Yes.
Imam Hussein did his movement, of course, started to sacrifice himself, his family, for Islam. So what happened after that?
That's right. I mean, this is an important point that you mention here, that, you know, we've discussed it from a historical point of view, that the events that led up to that, and it was simply because the people who had come into power were very corrupt.
Exactly.
And when the allegiance was called, because this was the tradition, that you had to make the allegiance to the leader, or the Khalifa at that time, when he heard that Yazid had come to power, he said, it's about time we said goodbye to Islam. It is like after 60 years or 70 years, Islam was finished if such a person like him had come into power. And we are talking about somebody who is a drunkard. We're talking about somebody who plays with monkeys. We're talking about somebody who doesn't care about anything about the affairs of the Muslims at all. And this was the end. You know, the teachings, the holy message of the Holy Prophet was gone. And this is why he says, you know, we are going to say salam to Islam.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't want to talk about the historical points of view, but a little go back. If we go back, we see that this is the 60th year after the Hijra of the Prophet, and Muawiyah passed away, of course.
That's right.
And after that, his son, Yazid, came to be the caliph of the Islamic nations.
Yes, yes.
So what happened in Medina, where Imam Hussein was living, that Imam Hussein started to move? We say that the, of course, governor of the Medina, who was Walid ibn Aqaba, came to Imam Hussein and asked him, if you want to stay here, of course, you must to be under the rule of Yazid.
Yes, that's right.
And it was not acceptable for Imam. So this exactly was the reason that Imam Hussein didn't want to accept the tyranny of Yazid. He was a really anti-oppression, of course, Imam Hussein, because of this. So he started to leave Medina. Where to? He said, I want to go to Mecca. I want to do pilgrimage, of course, the ritual of Hajj. And he started to take his family with himself.
Yes.
Of course, many different things happened during this, you know, journey.
Absolutely. But the point is this, that what you're mentioning is that Imam Hussein alayhi salam has already decided that if the rule of Yazid is going to be accepted by Muslim nations, and they did, and a lot of it, you know, we can go into some of the uglier aspects, if I can put it that way, as to how that allegiance was being accepted by the Umayyads, because, you know, there was a lot of bribery, there was a lot of cajoling and forcing of the Arab chieftains to make bayah with the Yazid. But Imam Hussein was already deciding, well, if this is what's going to happen, I can't live in these countries. I must go someplace else and take the message of Islam and the message of my grandfather to some other people. I mean, that seems to be the intention. But of course, you know, events turned very ugly.
So from the very beginning, from this movement, we will receive the first message of Imam Hussein and the Ashura. What is it exactly?
Yes.
We say not to accept any oppression.
Exactly.
Yeah, because Imam Hussein, if he stayed there, his acceptance, the rule of Yazid or something like this, it was the way that Imam Hussein was accepting the oppression. So he left Medina because he didn't want to go under the rule of Yazid, who was the oppressed people, of course.
The oppressor, the tyrant, the oppressor, yes.
The tyrant, of course.
I mean, in modern day terms, we could equate it to Saddam Hussein, for example,
exactly.
Because that's in living memory. People, viewers would understand that, that this is the kind of character we are talking about. And of course, Imam Hussein could not make any bayah with such a person.
We see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Holy Quran that, for example, we ask people, wasn't the earth so wide? So if you cannot live here, you can move to go to another place.
Isn't the earth so widespread that you can move to other places?
Exactly.
That's right. The Quran encourages that kind of emigration. Because we know that from the tradition of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that, you know, when there was oppression in Makkah, he did send some of his companions to Abyssinia,
exactly,
you know, for refuge. So this is not any different from that.
So we see that from the very beginning of this movement, we see many different messages up to the end, up to even the many years after that. Everything happening which is related and linked to this battle, to this day, we say the day of Ashura, all of them have a very perfect message for the Muslims, and not only Muslims, for the different societies. Inshallah, in future,
sure.
Of course, we are going to talk about the other, you know, revolutions that they took the message of Ashura,
yes,
and they started to have their own revolution based on the movement of Imam Hussein.
Excellent. Because what you're talking about is really what is in the fitra of human beings, that we can't accept injustice. I mean, this is the difference, isn't it?
That exactly.
What Imam Hussain alayhi salam has done, even though he's an imam, but at the same time, it is that very aspect of human nature that we cannot accept injustice or oppression, and we are free people, we are free men and women. And therefore, that's one message that comes out of it, not to accept tyranny under any circumstances. Mm-hmm. How can you interpret this message of resistance, of what Imam Hussain did in Karbala? How does this, how do we interpret this message of resistance?
We say that Imam Hussain, when he started to leave Mecca, because he was during the ritual of Hajj, he left it. We say that according to Islamic rules, he should finish first his Hajj ritual.
That's
and after
right.
that
yes.
leave there.
Yes, yes.
But he left it because of Imam Hussein said that many people from Kufa send messages to me, but these messages reached Imam when Imam Hussein was, of course, leaving Mecca. He said, if I stay here, of course Yazid will come to me and of course will kill me here. Because Mecca was a very holy city. Imam Hussein didn't want to have this you know, bad event happened there. So he left Mecca. So when the letters of people from Kufa reached Imam,
sorry to interrupt, Dr. Dewey. It's important to mention to viewers, because sometimes they're not aware of this history. I know it's very, very complicated. There's a lot that happens in this. But we have to point out that Imam Hussain alayhi salam's reason for leaving Hajj early, about a couple of days, as you say, was to keep the sanctity of the sanctuary of Haram intact. But we know later on, about a year later, Yazid actually attacks.
Of
Makkah
course,
and burns the Kaaba. So this is important to mention this, that this man has no compunction, no scruples about anything holy, and even violated the mosque of the Holy Prophet. So we have to mention that this had happened in history.
Yes, of course. Not only Imam Hussein, but the other people knew Yazid as well, because his father Muawiyah, at least the people somehow believed that Muawiyah was a Muslim. You know, he was doing according to Islamic rules. And
Something
like this.
Something like this. But he had some semblance of Islam.
Of course,
yeah.
But Yazid was completely different, you know. For example, in Islam, drinking alcohol or something like this is forbidden. But freely without any hesitation or something like this.
He was drinking publicly.
Of course, yeah, in public, of course, in front of the others and so on. So people, not only, I say, the experts of the society, but the others knew as well that Yazid was not a good Muslim. Mm. And he was not a good person to be a ruler in the big Islamic society.
Yes.
Because he wanted to be the caliph of the Prophet, the Holy Prophet.
Well, this is the important thing, isn't it, Dr. Davood? Because this is the difference in Islam in terms of leadership. When we talk about walaya, when we talk about mastership, that the khalifa or whatever other office we mention, imam, khalifa, whatever it is, these people must represent the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. What kind of person is this that suddenly appears in history? That is the complete he's complete infidel compared to the Holy Prophet.
The Holy Prophet.
Yeah, peace be upon him.
So for 3 years just Yazid was ruling the Islamic society, but in each year he did something so wrong, so bad, so, you know, I don't know which word to say for
it. Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Yes.
For example, at the first, you know, year, he killed Imam Hussein in a so bad way that, you know, the people
That's right.
know.
It was terrible barbarity.
Of course, The second, what happened the second? There was a very bad battle in Medina, you know.
Yes, he violated the whole of Medina. And we understand there was rape and looting at that time.
Exactly, exactly. Mm. And what happened in the third year? As you said,
Makkah was attacked.
Of course, yeah.
Kaaba
Mecca,
was attacked.
Kaaba, exactly, Kaaba was attacked so bad and violently. Mm. So Imam Hussein knew that Yazid is such a person. If you stay in Mecca, he doesn't mention and doesn't care that it is Mecca, Kaaba, you know, Masjid al-Haram or some other places. Mm-hmm. So he left it to the other place. So where to? He started to go to Kufa because the other people from Kufa has invited Imam Hussein. Mm-hmm. They sent some letters to Imam Hussein and of course said Imam Hussein to be our ruler. We want to go and follow the way that the Holy Prophet went.
Yes.
So the others were not like this exactly, or at least Yazid is not such a person. Mm. So we do not want Yazid, and we want to follow you.
Yes.
So these letters, not only one, two, three, many
there
different
many
letters.
Thousands
of course,
of them,
yeah.
Wasn't there?
Thousands,
there was thousands
of
them. Yeah.
10,000 sometimes.
Something.
You say
yeah. Yeah.
Letters from the people of Kufa, one by one, of course. They reached Imam Hussein and invited Imam Hussein to Kufa. Mm-hmm. So along the way, Imam Hussein started to talk about the, of course, his goal. Why I am going this way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So these goals that Imam Hussein mentioned during his, of course, ceremonies or so on, show exactly the way that Imam Hussein wanted to do his movement, and why we take message of this, you know, as Imam Hussein's wise sayings.
Yes.
For example, one of the things that is very, very important is Imam Hussein said, "Uridu al-islah fi ummati jaddi." I want to make, of course, a reform.
Right.
A good reform.
A good reform
in the
Muslim
nation
society.
Of my grandfather.
Yes. Yes.
So. It shows that Imam Hussein was wanted to go through the way that the Holy Prophet went. And of course, exactly this word shows that nowadays the society is not like this. Mm. The society is completely different, so I want to make it reform. It is very exactly...
In order to bring them back to the true principles
of, course,
of,
yeah,
of Islam,
of
the
Islam.
Pure principles of Islam. Yeah.
So, in joining... goods and forbidding evils is one of the big best ways of Imam Hussein, the messages of the Karbala, as messages of Ashura.
That's right.
That Imam Hussein.
This is a very important command and principle in Islam, that we must enjoin the good, we must bring people towards God and forbid what is harmful to us or to avoid Satan, if
course,
we want to put
course,
it that
yeah.
way. Because this is the whole thing, that we must encourage ourselves towards perfection.
That's what our real purpose here is in this life. And the Imams are there to help us to achieve that perfection. But of course, you know, in the circumstances of this resistance message, this is important, that why Imam Hussain does this particular thing of openly facing the tyrant. I mean, tell us about that, please.
Yes. We see that just this word, if we act according to that, not only the Muslim society, but all of the societies will benefit from it.
Yeah.
Because nobody can say that nowadays, or maybe in societies that they are in existence in the real world now, everything is okay. Yeah, there are something bad happening. The people are misleading sometimes or so on. The people are misleaded or so on.
Yeah.
So enjoining the good.
Enjoining the good is important in the sense that, I'm sorry to interrupt, but the thing is that this is an important point emphasize, that the leadership question in Islam is paramount. This is very, very important, because many Muslims lose sight of this. Even in revolutions, without a proper leader, you can't get the guidance you want. But at the same time, what we're really seeing here is that the enjoining the good is really to have a leader who can give you that perfection from this world to the next world.
Exactly.
Not just for the sake of office or power or gold or whatever else it happens to be.
Yeah. And of course, this is one of the most important messages of Ashura.
Yes.
And
yes.
Imam Hussein, with his deeds, practically, I say that he did it.
Yes, he showed us a practical resistance, that how do we actually face our enemy in that sense. Yes, yes.
The movement of Imam Hussein was based on enjoining good and forbidding evil actions or so on.
Sure.
So we see that Imam Hussein wanted to make these regulations alive in the society.
Yes.
It was completely put it aside. Nobody
The way we understand fiqh or Sharia law today was non-existent at that time. People were going back to the rules of Jahiliya. They were going back to the old Arab culture again. Yeah, that's right.
So we say, if we historically look at the event of Ashura, the way that Imam Hussein left Medina to Kufa and to Karbala, we see that if we only act according to these regulations, many, many problems of the society will, of course, go to the better way, of course.
Of course,
little by
does,
little,
yes.
The problems will solve.
Yes.
And according to Imam Hussein's message, we can save our society nowadays, not only Islamic societies, but the other societies too.
Mm-hmm.
The people want justice. And Imam Hussein started exactly to be a just, of course, ruler. He was an anti-oppression person. He said that, I am starting to sacrifice myself, my family, because I don't want to accept their oppressions.
Just hold that point,
yes.
Dr. Davoodi. Thank you very much.
You're
so
welcome.
Far. Viewers, we're just going away for a short break, but we'll be right back with this very, very important discussion about the message of Ashura. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back, viewers. You're watching Islamic Studies. I'm your host, Ijaz Hussain. A very warm welcome to you back to the program. We're speaking about the message of Ashura. And Dr. Davoodi, you've taken us up to the point of making us understand the whole movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam by this very important principle of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. And we are seeing that this important command is one in which it prevents society from sinning. We're talking about achieving perfection as believers, as Muslims, or as mu'min, as we say, both in this life and, very importantly, for the hereafter. Because one third of the Holy Quran is all about the life hereafter. And these imams are there to help us to get to that position. So in terms of the next stage of this movement, and that is, what is the standing and the importance of namaz or salah or prayer in the whole movement of Islam? Why Imam Hussein alayhi salam emphasized this so much, even up until the ninth night he asked for worship, you know, even though he knew that, you know, he has a great reward in terms of what he's doing for Allah, but why does he ask for this exceptional night of worship and prayer? How important is that for a believer?
And even more than that, you know, please. Exactly at the battlefront, you know, Imam Hussein started to say the prayer of Dhuhr. He said, yeah, let's stop everything and start to have a prayer. Ibn Abbas told him that we are in battle, and do you think...
Yes, this is very important. I mean, they are facing, a massacre and an aggression from the enemy side, from the Umayyad army, which was almost about 30,000 or 20,000 strong, whatever the number. But at the end of the day, that is extraordinary, that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in the middle of this terrible event, he says, stop for prayer.
Stop
to remember God, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've never heard of that in history, that any man who is in the middle of a battle or fighting to save his own life or his family stops for prayer.
Yeah, of course. We see that what Imam answered. Imam said, this movement is based on the Islamic rules. And the most important principle of the Islam is Salat,
yes.
So why we should stop it? For what? We are fighting to make it alive, so we kill it ourselves. So let's do the prayer here, because our movement is based on Islam, and Islam is based on Salat. You see that Salat has many, many different messages, of course.
Please go into some of them.
Go forward. We say that the society was going far and far away from the way that Rasulullah was going.
Yes, it was deviating completely, yes.
So this movement showed the others that Imam Hussein was not such a person, that he is not like Yazid. He is a person who is completely believe in Islam, even in the battlefront, even in the very bad situations. He doesn't want to
forget Allah,
sacrifice
even for a minute,
Islam for himself, or so on. He is going to sacrifice himself for Islam, for Allah, or so on. The other way, they show that Imam Hussein was a person who doesn't want to follow the rule of Islam. Because Yazid is a ruler, Imam Hussein doesn't want to obey him. And they show to people that because this person now has become a ruler, he is a ruler that he is following the Rasulullah's ways. Imam Hussein is away from him. Many people didn't know exactly that, you know.
That's right.
In the Battle of Ashura, Imam Hussein showed the people that I'm not that person you knew. Imam Hussein is a person who doesn't want to put aside Islam, even in the battlefront, even in the bad situation. So the Salat itself, what does it show to the people? We get us closer to God.
Exactly. Yeah. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam also is showing the fact that he's the true man of God. Not the ruler. Because the ruler, of course, is just doing for dunya. He's just doing for the love of this world. But as a corrupt individual, but the truth of the matter was, as you say, they were trying to show that Imam Hussein was creating some kind of fitna or some kind of apostasy. But the truth was that it was Imam Hussein who was the real divine, the real man of God.
Man of God,
and
of course.
It was the enemy who had gone into apostasy and into infidelity.
Yeah. Another thing that was very important, many different innovations had happened in the world.
Yes, now please speak about those, because those innovations are really what is affecting even Muslim society even today. Please speak about them.
One of the most important ones, we go back again to history, we say at the time of Imam Hassan. Mm-hmm. Imam Hassan has an agreement with Muawiyah. They started to have a contract with each other. A kind of, what do we say it, a covenant. Mm-hmm. They said that I accept your...
Yes, it was a treaty, wasn't it?
Of course,
a treaty.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. He said that nobody after you should be the ruler. You shouldn't make even your son the ruler of the society or so on. The way that the kings, you know, started to go to the world, Imam Hassan didn't want Muawiyah to do something like that.
Yeah.
So the people saw that after Muawiyah's death, his son Yazid came instead of him. So
that's right.
In
because
Islam,
there was this condition in that treaty between
exactly.
Imam Hassan alayhi salam and Muawiyah, the Umayyad, the first Umayyad ruler, if you could put it that
of course,
way, in
yeah.
Sham. And that was the fact that, you know, no... descendant
exactly.
of Abu Sufyan
exactly.
should be allowed to sit on the chair, and he violated that rule.
That's
it showed that he had no principle.
Yes.
He didn't care about these
so,
things.
So it was Muawiyah who did something wrong, first of all.
That's right.
Against that treaty that you
That's
are mentioning
right.
here.
Yes, yes, he betrayed it.
And of course, it was one of the most important innovations that he established in the Islamic society, because in Islam, those people who are better than the others must be the rulers. And of course, according to the Shia beliefs, we exactly believe that the leader of the society must be from the God, not from the people.
Absolutely,
yes.
Absolutely, yes.
But according to the situations in that society, it was a really, really bad innovation. Imam Hussein was, you know, started to make his movement against these innovations that we do not allow you or the others to put their sons instead of themselves after
Well,
the
that's
death
right,
and so
because
on.
This is very important. This is something that even has affected many schools of thought in the Muslim world as well, about hereditary rule.
Exactly.
Because we have some examples of this, unfortunately, because the British helped this. And we'll speak about this in later mm-hmm. sessions, that how they helped certain tribes in the Persian Gulf to have this hereditary rule. But this is forbidden in Islam, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And after that, what are the innovations? It wasn't the first or we say the last innovations, but many other different innovations. For example, the rulers of Islamic societies used to be tyrannic.
Yes.
Of course, they were tyranny.
They ruled by force.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Yeah. They ruled by force. They didn't rule by the Islamic laws. Of course, in front of the others, they showed that they are Muslims. Mm. But exactly were they Muslims or not?
Mm.
Yeah, it wasn't like this.
No.
So if the ruler will change little by little, the society will change too. Because annasu ala din mulukihim, the people are following their rulers. If they go to the, of course, true way, they will follow them, and vice versa.
Sure.
And it was another innovation that Imam Hussein wanted to exactly stop it, block the way.
Stop this thing, because this was actually corrupting society, because that's the whole problem, that if you get a bad individual, as you say, who is out of the rulership of Islam, he's going to be a very bad example for the rest of society. And that's exactly what was happening with governors like Ibn Ziyad, for example, and, you know, commanders like Shimr. I mean, what do you expect from them? You know, these are butchers.
Exactly.
You know, to put it mildly.
But the experts of that Islamic society, those who were, of course, the, we say, ulama or something like this, the experts of the society,
sure,
they were mostly corrupted.
Yes.
They were mostly corrupted. And if in a society, their experts, their ulama, or the people who have some affections in the society will corrupted, the society will be corrupted too,
absolutely,
unfortunately.
Yes.
So the way that Imam Hussein started to make his movement was confronting, of course, to be opposing to these, you know, bad corruptions too,
yes,
to show that you should rule people, of course, you should act according to what Imam Ali was acting, you know, in his during the way that, of course, it was not a so long time that Imam Ali was a ruler in the Islamic
That's
society.
Right. Only for about 4 years or four and a half years.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, yes.
Less than 5 years, of
yes,
course.
Yes.
But he showed completely that if you want to be justice, it's possible, of course. It is very difficult.
Very difficult.
It is possible, of course.
Of course.
And the other rulers didn't show this way to the people. So Imam Hussein wanted to exactly put his step instead of the his father's
stamp,
step.
Yeah, and stamp on that.
Yeah.
That's true, because of course Imam Ali alayhi salam, if we remember the Khalafa or Imamat of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, there was this aspect of his rule where he tried to narrow the gap between rich and poor, you know, that the Bayt al-Mal was not something to be exploited, it was something to be distributed with justice to the people, and people had houses, people had were being given you know, even foodstuffs in the night,
yeah,
by the Khalifa himself, you know, and that was unheard of in history, unheard of, nobody heard of such a thing before,
of course.
And yet when it comes to Muawiyah, when it comes to these other corrupt individuals, we see that the rich are getting richer, they are exploiting the Bayt al-Mal inappropriately, corruption is rife, and the ordinary Muslim people are poor.
Yeah. You see that those people who were the rulers and they were ruling different parts of Islamic society, they were not acting according to the Islamic rules. They were acting according to what they wanted. So it was going little to little to be a rule itself. Yeah, if you be a ruler, you can do whatever you want. Imam Hussein wanted to be against these too.
That's right.
They are not free to do
whatever
they want.
Yeah.
Of course, if he is a ruler, he must do according to the Islamic
rules.
Well,
I mean, to be honest, we'll speak about this in another session. But of course, you know, this accountability is something that we speak about today, you know, that our leaders must be made accountable.
Exactly.
They are subject to the law. And in the case of Islam, as Imam Hussein alayhi salam
exactly
shows by this great resistance of his, is to show that the leader is subject to the law. And the law in this case, of course, is Sharia law, according to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran.
Now, if you take a look at our society today, not only our country, the Muslim societies, we see little by little in many countries, the people are going to follow the Imam Hussein's rule, follow the Imam Hussein's way.
Yes,
without,
this reformation, yes.
Maybe, yeah, of course. Because they say our constitution is based on must be based on Islamic laws.
Laws, yes.
You see what is happening nowadays in Egypt.
Yeah.
Of course, they wanted Islam, of course, and they said we want someone who brings Islam to us, and our constitution must be based on Islamic laws.
And the leader must be subject to that
exactly
constitution, not above it. I mean, this is the problem, isn't it?
So where does it come from? I say it is started from the way that Imam Hussein did in Ashura.
Yes.
And little by little, and of course they found good examples in other societies. Imam Khomeini came to start his revolution in Iran based on Islamic rules. And after 30 and few years, you see that nowadays the other people, when take at these examples, they found out that, yeah, there is a good example. This example is exactly taken
and,
from.
And this is important because this is also an example from Imam Hussain alayhi salam in terms of this practical resistance and this showing, as you say, of the appropriate leadership under the rule of law, is that Imam Khomeini himself says that I am Walayat al-Faqih. This means that I am a supreme jurist, a mujtahid who can interpret the law.
Exactly.
And I myself will not tell you anything different. As Imam Ali alayhi salam says, I will not tell you anything different unless I don't do it myself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So these revolutions nowadays has took, I believe, the message of Ashura.
Exactly.
Yeah. These are the messages of Ashura, that they are practical too. Not only that society, but the society, our society today, and can take benefit of it. And of course, inshallah, in future we are going to talk about it more, that what kind of revolutions took the message of Ashura and they were successful.
Not only
in Muslims country. We have good examples too.
Any further examples in the last minute or so about any other bid'ah or innovation which took place, which were very serious in terms of deviating people from Islam? What else was there that which you know, was really making the belief of the Muslims corrupted?
Yes, of course, many different things. But you know, one of the most important things that hiddenly can corrupt the society is the way that the people get away from the God's way. You know, for example, I am working and gaining money, little by little I forget Allah's way, and little by little I become rich and rich and rich. Being rich in Islam is not a sin, or for example, is not forbidden. But if by this way we get away from the way of Allah, it is very harmful for the society.
Well, I think we can conclude this particular session on the basis that the deviation that had occurred both in the rulership as well as the Muslim Ummah in general was it had become too much emphasized in Jahiliyyah culture, going towards dunya, the love of gold, the love of money, possessions, material things. And this is what Imam Hussain alayhi salam said, that the dunya is on the lips of the people.
Yes.
And the truth of the matter was he had to reform them because humanity needs to be perfected in order to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in terms of our conclusion, we can say that the whole movement of Imam Hussain alayhi salam in terms of this practical resistance against the Umayyad tyranny was this very important reformation to bring back that spirituality, to bring this balance between the dunya and the akhirah, between the world and the hereafter.
The hereafter, of course.
Any further comments you would like to make?
And I think another things that we can, of course, mention, we say that Imam Hussein wanted to show us another things. It is the, I think it is resistance.
Okay, so Dr. Dawoodi, I have to interrupt you there. I'm sorry we've run out of time, but thanks very much for your valuable contribution today on the message of Ashura. Inshallah, we'll have you for further sessions, hopefully to speak more in depth, viewers, about this very important message. And you have been watching Islamic Studies today. And thanks very much for being with us. It just leaves me to say, Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you all. Thanks for watching and goodbye.